Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello there, welcome to a brand new Arse Blog Arsecast right here on arseblog.com. Yeah, sorry for the silence there. I'm just trying to think of a way to start this one. Last week you make a little joke about things being terrible and, things can only get better though, right? No. D-Ream are liars. They are absolute liars. Things can't not only get better, they can get worse. And they did on Sunday against Bolton. And that was the end of our title challenge. Two ridiculous goals to give away, which kind of sum up our season. There are so many things which sum up our season, right? You can talk about that Manchester United game, for example, in the FA Cup, where we had all the possession and played a lot of the game in their half, but couldn't score to save our life, and they score goals up the other end at their first breakaway. That kind of sums up our season. And then conceding goals from corners, that sums up our season. Set pieces have been our Achilles heel, our Vermaelen's bit, as it's now known. 56% of the goals we've conceded this season have come from set pieces. Strikes me there's a weakness there. I'm pretty sure Arsene might have spotted it. We'll see what he does about it. But, I mean, the goals on Sunday, poor defending in the first place to allow both the chances which led to the corners. Right, Chesney made two brilliant saves. One from, I think it was Lee, and the other one from Elmander. And from both corners, they scored. Which must be maddening when you're the goalkeeper. But we'd got it to 1-1, and we had chances to score a second goal, and then another goal, and we had chances to win that game and make that game safe. Unfortunately, there was nobody in the team that wanted to step up and be the winner and be the hero, be the Freddie Ljungberg of this season. As I said in the blog, if Freddie Ljungberg had been through in the same way that Samir Nasri was through that time, it would have been a goal. I like Nasri, and he's had a good season. But at moments like that, you need big players to stand up and be counted, and he stood up. Well, he didn't even stand up. He kind of stood up, but nobody counted him. Or he sat down and someone counted. I don't know quite how to work that analogy, to be perfectly honest. And we end up losing a game we should have won against a team, right, that got beaten 5-0 in the FA Cup semi-final, beat us, and then lost 3-0 to Fulham. Something's not quite right there. That we have this ability to make other teams look good. And I think that, above all else, is the major frustration for me. It's not so much that we haven't won anything, it's the manner in which we haven't won anything. 2007-2008, we're 5 points clear at the top of the league. And I know the Eduardo thing happened, and that was obviously a shock to everybody. But, you know, there are maybe two ways of looking at that. One is that the team was traumatized, and the other is that the team didn't have what it takes to say, well, fuck you, cunts, for what you did to Eduardo. We're going to win every game between now and the end of the season, or we're going to find ourselves very difficult to beat. We're certainly not going to throw away a 5-point lead at the top of the table and end up losing the title. And I know there were other absences. Flamini was injured and Sanya was injured, but I think there was a lack of that old reliable mental strength in there. And this season, we've seen the Carling Cup final, that comedy of errors to lose a Carling Cup final, and then, you know, let's not forget a couple of weeks ago, the league title was in Arsenal's hands. We had it in our hands. if we won our games, we would be champions. And here we are. In our last 7 league games, we've taken 8 points from 21. The sequence, as far as I can make out, is a win against Stoke, draw against Sunderland, draw against West Brom, draw against Blackburn, win against Blackpool, draw against Liverpool, draw against Spurs, and a loss to Bolton. You don't win titles like that. And that, to me, is where the real frustration comes in. That most of us, I think, feared this kind of thing happening again. That come the end of the season, we didn't have either the experience or the quality or the character or the combination of all of those things to get us over the finish line, or at least close to the finish line. Because there's still 4 games left, we're completely out of it now. And that really is a huge frustration. And there's a lot of talk, of course, about, well, if you've gone out and bought this player and that player and that player and that player. And for me, it goes beyond that. It goes beyond the playing staff. It goes to the culture of the club, the mental weakness. I don't, you know, we spoke about this mental strength thing. There is a mental weakness, a flaw in the psychological makeup of this team. It's like they don't believe they can win, or they don't believe they should win, or they don't believe they're good enough to win, and they almost self-destruct. I'm sure there are psychiatrists or psychologists out there who could analyze what it means, but that's what it feels like, is that they're almost afraid of it. That it's easier to just combust, and we've almost gotten used to that. That this is what we're familiar with. We haven't learned how to win, but by fuck do we know how to lose. And lose in spectacular fashion. So that's where a lot of frustration comes from, for me anyway, from a personal point of view. I understand that people have their own views on this and their own perspectives and everything else. But at this point in the season, to be out of it again, having been in a good position, a really, really good position. It's not that it's final straw stuff, but certainly a lot has got to change this summer. And I think we've got a lot of time between now and then to discuss what that all might be. Anyway, taking us to our guest this week here is Internet Joe.
Oi, Internet Joe, and here's me 30-second roundup. Fuck, shit, tits, flaps, gay, pox, wank, bollocks, septic, horse cocking, thunder cunt, dick, ass, hoop, knob-rotted, scrotum face, wank hammer, shite, piss, festering Jesus' smegma lapping asshole, bitch, motherfucker, self-fingering, shaw-crossing, juicing, anus-wrenching, bastard, bloody fucking crap, dildo, fuckity, fuck, 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 you cunts!
I have to say those are sentiments I'm finding it very difficult to disagree with this week. Thank you to Internet Joe. He's back on next week's show. Now, to look at everything that's gone on this week and since the last Arscast, my guest is a former Arsenal player, played a grand total of 7 games for the club in the 90s, moved to Southend, and has since forged a career as a journalist. You might see him on Arsenal TV as well as one of the summarizers, and he's also part of the Red, White and Blue podcast. Welcome to the show, Adrian Clark. Hi there.
Hello, Andrew. How are you?
I'm all right, thank you, which isn't true to say of Arsenal and Arsenal season. The end of season collapse. Arsenal went to Bolton. They knew they had to win the game to keep the title hopes alive, knowing then there was still plenty of work to do anyway. The opportunity to win the game presented itself. In the end, it was Bolton that got the winning goal, and it's just something that seems to happen again and again to Arsenal at this stage of the season.
Oh, it certainly does. Yeah, it's a similar story to the last 2 or 3 seasons, isn't it? The team promises so much, and then ultimately at the final hurdle, whether it's through injuries, missed opportunities, you know, loss of bottle, so to speak, when it mattered most, there's been one reason after another that Arsenal haven't quite got over the line. And it is very frustrating because talent-wise, Arsenal are as good as Manchester United, probably better than Chelsea, but there's something missing that's preventing them from going all the way. And it's frustrating as a supporter. It must drive the fans absolutely mad. It really must.
You talk about talent. Obviously, there's plenty of that in the side because, you know, we've seen when Arsenal play well, and I don't think it's happened too often this season, but when they play well, they click. They're really great to watch. They've also got to second in the league and were in four competitions and reached a cup final. So it isn't necessarily to do simply with footballing ability. And what you're sort of hinting at there is a lack of character. Is there reason to suggest that that's tied in with the lack of experience in the team, or does it go a bit deeper than that?
I don't think we can pinpoint one reason specifically why Arsenal have failed. If, you know, second place, third place is a failure. I do think inexperience counts. I think it takes you so far, but with young players, you're just always going to get inconsistency. It's a fact. You know, I know Manchester United won the league with a very young team years ago, but that's the exception to the norm. I also think, to be honest, that group of players at the moment aren't that inexperienced. I don't think that can be levelled as an excuse anymore. It's more a case of, are there enough of the right type of characters within that team? And talent-wise, there is no question they're right up there. They're an excellent bunch of footballers. But to win the league, perhaps, it takes different types of characters. And that's one area that I think has been slightly neglected. You know, it's common knowledge that Arsene Wenger has been looking for a goalkeeper, looking for a centre-back, looking for a midfielder. But it's not just talent. It's to do with the character of those acquisitions too. And I think it's really imperative that he brings in the right kind of characters, the sort of players that will talk to the others and not accept defeat, not accept mistakes lightly, not blame everybody else, take personal responsibility. That's the key, I think, that's missing with this Arsenal side. If we can bring in one or two characters that will add that steel, I see no reason why Arsenal can't compete alongside Manchester United and go even better than them.
I mean, you talk about personal responsibility, and there was an issue during the Blackpool game when Abu Diaby was booked stupidly just before half-time, and there were reports of, not a bust-up in the dressing room, but Robin van Persie reminding him, you know, that he's got to do better for the team. Is that the kind of thing you're talking about?
Yeah, I like that. When I heard about that, it made me feel good, because sometimes when you watch Arsenal, you think, brilliant to watch, but when things aren't going so well, it seems very quiet, and there doesn't seem to be too much talking going on, not too much, you know, set pieces especially. There's not a whole lot of dialogue going on. Nobody's pulling each other around, telling them to pick this player up, pick that player up. It all seems very calm, too serene in a way. And from my experience, you need to communicate. And the fact that Robin pulled him to one side and had a word with Diaby, I think that's great. It's a relief. I just wish maybe more people within the dressing room and within the coaching staff would do that more often, or at least we'd hear about that happening, because I think it would be to the benefit of the team. Because from the outside, we often hear a lot of reasons and outside, external excuses for defeats and deflections from mistakes. But, you know, players need to be responsible for their own actions. And, you know, I just hope that within that dressing room, they are on each other's backs, if you know what I mean, and pushing each other on to higher standards, because that's what they need to do. They need to just reach a higher standard and not accept, you know, making mistakes.
Perhaps the reason the Van Persie thing stood out is because it's not necessarily part of the culture at Arsenal, that they haven't been doing this down the years, particularly when the more experienced members of the side left. And one of the things that troubles me slightly is the sense that many of them are sort of in a comfort zone. I spoke about high wages that they're on at a very early age. The salaries are increased year on year, regardless of whether the team wins anything or not. And then there's also the knowledge that the manager, they're aware, obviously, of his project. And the project is to develop this team together, which gives them not a fallback, but they know that because he's trying to develop them, that he'll perhaps be a little more tolerant of mistakes or of lackadaisical performances, etc., etc.
Perhaps so, yeah. I mean, there are instances that have happened this season and last that you would think would have earned a hairdryer treatment from Fergie, for example. Mm. And players would be dropped for an Eboué-esque mistake, for instance, and you know, publicly berated, I'm sure. That doesn't really happen with Arsene Wenger. I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing, but I do feel that this project and, yeah, the lack of criticism that we see and hear, it is a concern. I just hope that within the four walls of that dressing room, the harsh words are being said, because, you know, for the mistakes that have happened in recent weeks, especially during this late season collapse, you know, they really do need to be addressed. You can't always put it down to something else. You've got to look within and ask yourself, could I have done better? Could I have made a better decision there? And I think certain players, you know, should look in the mirror and see that. As for the project, I don't think there's a whole lot wrong with it. I think the philosophy still works. It's fantastic. We're still producing great players. It just needs a tweak or two. And by a tweak or two, I guess I'm alluding to the fact that there needs to be more emphasis on steel and a non-acceptance of certain things, and to have maybe a plan B, you know, a different option when the big games come around. Because in my view, it seems that Arsenal have become slightly easy to play against. Mm. When they're not firing on all cylinders, they have been easy to play against, because everybody knows what to expect from this Arsenal team.
Mm. How much of what's happened in the last few months, because Arsenal have won one game in their last seven or eight league games since the Carling Cup final, how much of what's gone on is down to confidence? Because Arsene Wenger says very often that it's the easiest thing to lose and the most difficult thing to regain.
Yeah.
And given the fact that 2007, 2008, there was this collapse, a similar one a couple of seasons ago as well, last season, you know, where we were still more or less in there, it was difficult, but you had the Spurs game, the Wigan game away, and it becomes, I don't know if they expect to collapse, but maybe just the confidence going into the final part of the season isn't there.
Yeah, I really don't know what it is, because when I look at the Arsenal team, they look relaxed, they look almost over-relaxed at times. You know, the big North London derby at White Hart Lane, for most part of that game, they played in a very relaxed manner and expressed themselves excellently. So I don't necessarily think they're lacking complete confidence. I do feel that there's a slight phobia developing around the big games, around playing against Manchester.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
It's a brand new year, and what better time to get going with that online store you've been thinking of? Those I was there when Arsenal actually scored a goal t-shirts would fly off the shelves right now. And to get yourself up and running, you need Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way through to the did we hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, up to 36% better compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort with thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 a month trial period at shopify.com/arseblog, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/arseblog now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/arseblog.
United, for example, they have been comprehensively outplayed especially at the Emirates, it has to be said, in the last couple of occasions. So that will linger in the minds of the players. But I don't see it as being a lack of confidence, because in a way, I put the Carling Cup final defeat down to overconfidence. I think they took that game a little bit lightly. They didn't perhaps treat it as a final as seriously as Birmingham did, and it cost them. You know, the concentration levels that day weren't too high, and I think that is an accusation you can level. I think ability-wise, confidence-wise, Arsenal are excellent, but they do have issues in the concentration department, and unless that's, you know, stamped out of the side, you know, it could just persist.
A lot of talk obviously will take place about who should stay and who should go, and I don't really want to speculate on that because there's still four games of the season, and I think everybody has an idea of where perhaps changes need to be made on the pitch. Off the pitch, there's talk today, further talk today, and I think it's a fairly open secret that Pat Rice might be retiring at the end of the season, which leaves a place open for a new number two, whether that's Steve Bould or somebody else that comes in. Is that kind of a shake-up in the coaching staff? Can that help address some of the problems as well? Because perhaps things have gotten a little staid.
I would say so, yeah. I mean, I know Pat Rice very well. He's an excellent coach. He's been great servant to Arsenal, you know, and to Arsene Wenger. But I think he was looking to retire anyway. There's problems with his knee, by all accounts. So it may be forced upon him. If the change happens, and, you know, I wouldn't be against it if it did occur, I think it could be just what the club needs. So a new voice in the dressing room. And I'd really hope that the club bring in the right type of character. You know, the sort of person that will tell players when they've made a mistake and will really instill what's missing from, you know, instill some of that invincible spirit and some of the spirit that was with the club during my time, you know, in the mid-90s. We may not have been the greatest Arsenal side in the history of the club, but there was so much character, so much desire to win or to not lose. You know, there was a real determination. If someone can come in as a number two and bring that element back to within the squad, and also someone who's willing to sort of stand up to the manager and say if he disagrees with him, you know, because I think a new voice that Arsene Wenger will listen to could be just the tonic. I really do, because for so long now the board have concentrated on developing other areas of the football club, and they've left the manager to his own devices because they trust him, and rightly so. But with no one to really have dialogue with at a high level, Arsene Wenger's just been left to his own devices and continued in much the same vein without changing too much. And I think something needs to change this summer, and perhaps the introduction of a new number two is just what they need.
Steve Bould is one of the names that's put forward and one of the obvious candidates, having done a lot of time at the club training the youth teams and learning on the job rather than going straight into management. Maybe some people might say it smacks of a lack of ambition, but maybe he's happy to learn his way. And as someone you probably knew, is he that kind of character?
Yeah, he's a big character. He's a strong character. He doesn't take faults gladly. He'll speak his mind. Intelligent guy. Knows his stuff. And obviously, he's au fait with the philosophy of the club. So, yeah, on paper, he's a good fit, definitely. I haven't had much to do with Steve or Bouldy for a number of years. So I don't know what he's like as a coach. I can't really say that too much about his coaching. But yeah, someone from that generation, from that Arsenal team, I think would be welcome. And he's the ideal candidate. I think it just needs someone who's big enough and bold enough to speak their mind and to, you know, suggest new things that maybe the players can take on board, because not a lot needs to change. Arsenal are still a very good team. It's just those little tweaks are needed. And yeah, I think a new number two, and if it's Bouldy, it could be perfect.
Looking ahead then very quickly to the weekend, it's Manchester United, and you spoke about their record against Arsenal being very good. What's happened over the last couple of weeks, particularly in light of the Bolton game, it demands a response, doesn't it, from this Arsenal side, that there's been such a weight of criticism this week, and I'm not going to try and say it wasn't justified, but there has been such a weight of criticism that they really do need to go out and not put it right, but at least remind people that there are some positive things to this Arsenal side.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm trying to stay positive. I've said it a few times in the last 10 minutes or so. There isn't a lot wrong with this team. It is a very good team. They do need to lift the fans. The fans have been so nervous, they've been edgy, and rightly so, because the team hasn't performed. Perhaps now that we're out of the title picture, the weight will be lifted off the players, and perhaps they'll go out there and turn it on. Because I think when Arsenal are relaxed, and when they do turn it on and play with confidence, with the pace and moving the ball around quickly, they can beat anyone, including United. So yeah, I think they need a performance to win the fans back. Otherwise, if this season just peters out in a disappointing fashion, I think the pressure on them will build ahead of next season, and the clamour for a major overhaul will overtake things. I don't think an overhaul is needed, but I do think, as we've alluded to, things do need to change over the summer. But yeah, it's a big game. United won't take it lightly. They'll come there, be organised. They'll have that steel, and they'll be confident of turning up at the Emirates and winning. I quietly fancy Arsenal, actually, to just turn things around in this one.
It would be typical, wouldn't it?
It would, yeah. A little bit too little too late, but yeah. It would still be pleasing. It's always nice to beat Manchester United, isn't
Absolutely.
It?
Absolutely. All right, Adrian, we better leave it there. Thank you very much indeed.
No problem.
Thank you very much indeed to Adrian Clark. You can find him and his two podcasting cohorts on their website. It's www.redwhiteandblue.tv. That's www.redwhiteandblue.tv. And of course, like any discerning anybody these days, they're on Twitter. It's twitter.com/redwhiteblue pod. twitter.com/redwhiteblue pod. Do check it out. It is well worth a listen. And now, before we go to something else, and also before we look ahead to the Manchester United game, and as much as we could look ahead, look forward to something like that, let's give you a chance to win a prize. Cheer somebody's week up anyway. It could need cheering up even more by this time next week. That's looking on the bright side for sure. What I'll do is I'll give you the chance to win anything you like from the Arseblog online store. That's anything, any single item. There are some combination items up there, afraid not. Any single item, t-shirt, print or mug from the store. You can check it out at store.arseblog.com. All you have to do is answer the following question. Should Dani Alves be put into a mincer and ground up and then served on a bed of Didier Drogba? The answer, yes or no, to competition@arseblog.com. That's competition@arseblog.com. Send your answer along with the item that you would like. So, for example, if you would like a dreamy Robert Pires t-shirt, say, this is my answer, and I would like a dreamy Robert Pires t-shirt in size L, por favor. You don't have to do it in Spanish. You can say please in whatever language you would like. English is best, of course, and send it to competition@arseblog.com. And on next week's show, I will announce the winner, and that person will get whatever it is that they chose. Can't say further than that, can you? So store.arseblog.com as well to check out what it is you might want. Now, before we look at Manchester United and some of the bits and pieces leading up to that game, here's our Shavin.
Hello, I am our Shavin, and really not having a good time at the moment because I'm questioning the decision to come to England, because one more year without trophy at Arsenal, and I have left a club that is winning a European trophy and nothing at Arsenal. I have tried to give experience to young players in team. I say, why are you always running in game? You are running here and tackle and chase back and all this. Why are you doing this? Because all happen is you are tired when season come to end. And now young players don't have energy to make tackle. Arshavin have energy, but Arshavin does not play. Also, not so good with money in England. In Russia, get money, put in pocket, do what like with money. In England, have to pay half money to Queen. And what does Queen do with money? Go and buy new horse, or go on holiday, or make wedding for prince don't know name, and girl don't know name. And Arshavin, I am waiting. Where is invite to wedding? Why don't we get invite to wedding? Wife is not happy. So, you know, when in church at wedding, men say, does anybody have object to this wedding? I am going to put hand up and say, yes, Arshavin object to this wedding. But if you give me cake, I will go away.
More from Arshavin on another Arscast soon. Now, looking ahead to Manchester United, Arsene's press conference took place yesterday, and they had the thing up on the website, the usual thing, watch the press conference as live. I don't know why they don't just put the video up, but anyway, they had that there for a while, and it didn't work, and I was waiting for it to go up the normal way, and it didn't appear at all. It disappeared entirely. Even the As Live thing disappeared, and there was Arsene's chat with the official site. So I don't necessarily have a great deal of stuff from the press conference itself, or don't have the insight having not watched it. There's a lot of stuff about how we're wounded and we need to respond, and Arsene, you know, talking the talk, as you do, as you have to do going into a game against Manchester United. The official side have done their usual trick of, Wenger, we have closed the gap to United. The timing thing is just amazing. How do they do it? Nearly every time something happens, they put something like that up there. It's something that Arsene said. Of course, he said, I think we've made up a lot of ground, and we've a good opportunity to show that on Sunday. Well, we haven't necessarily made up any ground at all. Being behind, them being in front and stuff, which is where things have been over the last little while. And even a result on Sunday wouldn't necessarily suggest that we're a better team than them or as good as they are or anything like that, because you're judged not on one game, but of course over the course of the season. And it wouldn't at all be surprising if this Arsenal team turned up on Sunday, put in a great performance and beat Manchester United. I'm not saying I wouldn't like that. Of course I would. I'd be very happy to see that, in fact. But maybe it would be a case of when the pressure's off, they can perform. And when it's on, they just can't seem to do it. But whatever happens, we have to see a response from the team. Because there is a lot of anger and a lot of frustration and a lot of unhappiness at the way this season has petered out. The only people, I've said it before, are the only people who can put that right are the players and the manager. Arsene says, ultimately, I'm the one to blame. Yes, he is. Ultimately, he's the one to blame. He trains the team, coaches the team, picks the team, buys the players, brings the players through from the youth system. Buck stops always with the manager. And I know in one way he's trying to take the focus off them, but in another way it's not a bad reminder that yes, he is the man who's to blame when things go wrong, and ultimately he's the one who should be accountable. So we'll see what happens on Sunday. I'm hoping we turn up. I'm hoping we win. I'm hoping we can score goals and take 3 points and just lift the spirits a little bit, because I think we need that. Everyone needs it, from the players to the fans, and especially the fans. Things have been a bit tetchy recently across the board. But the fact is that things won't seem so bad if we win a game, because it seems it's been so long. I know we beat Blackpool, but, you know, nobody takes a great deal of satisfaction out of beating Blackpool. Beating Manchester United would be something different altogether. And we haven't beaten them for a little while now. Was it Nasri's 2 goals? Was that the last time we beat them in his first season? So it's been a while. So let's just hope that winning on Sunday will go some way to lifting the spirits. Of course, it doesn't address all the problems. It doesn't solve all the problems. It doesn't make everything right all of a sudden. But it will make things slightly better. And given where we are at the moment, I'll take that. So, fingers crossed for a good result at the weekend. Talk to you all next week on the blog and on next week's Arscast. Until then, take it easy. Cheers. Bye-bye.
We are gathered here today, in the sight of God, to bring these two people together on what must be the happiest day in anybody's life. Friday. God is all around us. God said, I am love, and love is all around you. If love is around you, then God is around you. And because we have orifices, then God is inside you too, wiggling away, wanting you to know how much God loves you. And now we come to the ceremony. Do you, Ibue, take this tree to be your lawful wedded wife, to love and to honor, to have and to hold, to cherish and to stroke gently till death do you part or the tree gets hit by lightning? You do. And do you, tree, take this Emmanuel Ibue to love and to honor, to have and to hold, to leak sap onto, to cheat and to charm, till death do you part? You do. I now pronounce you Ibue and tree. You may rub the bark. Amen.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.